Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Children and young people must be children and young people. I think sometimes we expect them to be grown up and more mature than they're able to be. We expect too much out of them. Young people must be children. They're games to play. And these games are important to them. And they're friends to enjoy. And they're sights to see. And they're things to learn. And they're activities in which they're interested, in which we're not interested. And remember, Paul, in writing 1 Corinthians 13, said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But he didn't put them away till he became a man. See what I'm saying? Children have got to be children. And we've got to understand that they're children. We've got to understand they're not, they haven't experienced and they're not interested in some of the things in which we want them to be interested so strongly and so vitally. We want them to have an interest in the things that it took us a long time to get an interest in. I remember when I was just a young boy, about all I was interested in was what's going on at school, baseball diamond. I'd go to baseball diamond, stay from 9 in the morning, come home, eat a peanut butter sandwich, go back, stay till the sun went down. And I wasn't too interested in theology, but I was interested in baseball. And I was interested after supper going out on the street and playing kick the can until Mom called me in to go to bed. And those things. So that's, Paul is saying that. And as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. And when I became a man, I put away the childish things. Now, another thing, young people must be educated. There's much to learn. And they must give time to the study of these things. And today's youth has to spend a lot of time, homework and studies. And that's the reason Mrs. May meets back here on Wednesday night with our young people. Their parents come to the Wednesday night service. The boys and girls are back there working on lessons. They have an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of lessons every night. And they've got to do this. They've got to learn math and English and science and history and all of these other things. And there's not a grown person here that wouldn't say to these young people, I wish when I were your age, I had studied a little harder. Now, that's the fact. There's not a grown person here that wouldn't say to these children, apply yourself, please apply yourself while you're young to these things that will benefit you so much and enable you to earn a better living and help your family and support your family when these responsibilities come upon you. And then young people must live in this world, and it's a tough world in which to live for young people. Life wasn't nearly as complicated when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age as it is now. Believe it or not, the word drugs wasn't in our vocabulary. It wasn't even there. The word gay meant happy. It wasn't even in our vocabulary, except happiness. Alcohol is something that was unheard of in our school. Absolutely unheard of. In high school, there wasn't but one boy that had a car. That's the whole school. And he had an old Model A with a rumble seat. And those things just that the young people and all of these things that they wrestle with and trouble with were unheard of. We didn't know anything about them. And young people are going to have to learn to make it in this. They're complicated and tough peer pressure world. Peer pressure. Be like them. I don't know why the bad apples want everybody to be like them. I guess misery loves company. Dare to be different. I say that to you. But they've got to learn to make a living. They've got to work a job. They've got to find a mate, someone that they can be happy with, and building a family. And much as we'd like to, we can't isolate them. You can't protect them. I'd want to. I'd like to just put my arms around you and take you somewhere to Siberia, you know, where you won't have to grow up in this rotten, stinking world. But it's something you got to do. You got to do it. There's not any way around it. We can't protect you, isolate you, shield you from all the trials that are going to come your way. And the heartaches and the disappointments and the tribulations and problems of this flesh. You've just got to have them. Got to have them. And we had our share. It wasn't easy when we were young. I was 17 years old. Said goodbye to my mother and daddy and my sister. And caught a ship in Gulfport, Mississippi and went overseas to stay 2 years. And never came back till the end of the war. That wasn't easy. And when I went to the Naval Training Station and rode in on that bus, all the old veterans hollered, "You'll be sorry." I said, "Be sorry? I'm already sorry. I'm sorry I left home." But it's tough. Not anything easy about it. But I wish we could learn and get through our heads and help them. I guess you have to become a grandparent before you learn these things, you know. That children have got to be children. And you can't make them anything else but children, and I'm glad they're children. And I want to understand them a little better and cooperate with them and help them and pray for them and let them know that they don't want to hang around old folks, but at least we're there if they want to hang around. If we're there, and we'll help them all we can and understand. But what Solomon is saying here, and I say this to you young people, now listen to me. He says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." What he's saying, while you're young, and while you're a child, while you're a young person, remember, think upon, and consider that there is a God. I know there's a world to live in, and there's a education to get, and there's a game to play, and there's a profession to choose, and there's a mate to select, and all these things, and you're busy with these things and taken up with them. But while you are busy with these things, remember, there's a God. Don't forget Him. And I know you're not a theologian and you're not really interested in some of these things, deaths, something so far remote you don't even consider it. And judgment and hell and heaven and all these things so remote you don't have time to think about them. But Solomon's saying here, please be wise and remember and think upon and consider in your busy life. In your busy life, and you are busy. And in our busy lives, and especially in the busy lives of young people, we're apt to be so taken up with and so engaged in the things of the world and the things of life. And please, I understand. That's what I tried to say. I understand. You're busy, and you're involved, and you're taken up with these things. And that's all right. I know you have to be. But please, don't neglect that which is most important. Think upon, remember, and consider that God is our Creator. And He made us, not we ourselves, and we're His subjects. We're His children. And He deserves our consideration and our thoughts and our worship. That's right. Remember that in Him we live and move and have our being. God gave you life. I know your mother and father conceived you and brought forth into this world, but God gave you life. And God's the one that gave you the ability to think. God's the one that gave you the ability to play an instrument or play a game well or be a good student. If it weren't for God's grace, you could be a moron. Don't ever forget that. That's what he's saying. Remember. Remember now. While you are actively engaged and busy in these other things, if it weren't for his grace, you wouldn't be in anything. He's the one that gave you the mind. He's the one that puts food on your table, clothes on your back, and breath in your lungs and a heart to beat. And don't forget that now. That's what he's saying. Remember, in him you live and move and have your being. Remember, he's the giver of every good and perfect gift. It wouldn't hurt us to say thank you, would it? It wouldn't hurt us to say thank you. I don't think there's anything embarrassing about facing the fact that I didn't make myself, that God made me, that what I have is by his grace. And I say, thank you, Lord. I'm mindful of who I am and what I am and what I have. And I'm mindful of the fact that it's all by your grace. Remember, that's what he's saying. Just consider those things. Remember those things. Remember that he's blessed us with the favor of his providence. You say, I got such good parents. God gave them to you. We've got a fine fellowship here. God gave it to us. I have all these things that I enjoy, my school, my friends. God gave them to you. That's what he's saying. Remember your Creator. And he calls him your Creator on purpose. He's your Creator. He made you. He made you what you are. He gave you what you have. Remember. Remember now that he's the great and glorious God, and he's worthy of worship. Don't ignore him. That's folly. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of adoration. You know, really and truly, you say, well, why am I on this earth? To glorify God. That's why you're here. That's the chief end of everything God's made. He made the sun, the moon, the stars to glorify him. He made the trees of the wood and the flowers of the field to glorify him. He made the angels to glorify him. He made you to glorify him. If we're going to glorify him too, either in his mercy or his justice, but we're going to glorify God. And remember this, like Ronnie prayed a moment ago, we're fallen sons of Adam by nature, and we've departed from our first estate of holiness and righteousness, and we're worthy of God's wrath. I am and you are. But remember his covenant of mercy in Christ. He has not left us to ourselves. He has not left us to perish in our sins. That's the gospel I preach. But blessed be God for his great mercy in Christ Jesus, in that while we're yet sinners, God loved us and gave his Son to be our Redeemer. He gave his Son to redeem us, to put away give us a righteousness and give us cleansing from our sin. Remember that. And I tell you, these scriptures that you're learning now, while you don't feel that they're overly applicable, and I'm aware of that, I tell our people, our young people don't need you to get a bunch of puppets up and a bunch of pictures and try to bring God down to their understanding. Preach to them God like he is, and men like they are, and Christ as he is. Talk to them intelligently and plainly. Read to them the Word of God. And this scripture will be stored up in their minds, the greatness of God, the glory of God, the holiness of God, the majesty of God, and the effectual person and work of Christ. And God will call that to their remembrance when they get older and able to grasp these mysteries. See what I'm saying? Give it to them like it is. That's the way they want it. Don't insult their intelligence by getting up and talking silly like they do on that Christian television station. You know, those puppets and those cowboys and stuff like that trying to make God and the Word and salvation a game. It's not a game. It's serious mysteries. And Paul said this about Timothy. From a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And while our young people may not understand the Trinity, I don't either. While they may not be able to grasp some of these mysteries, they will later. They will later. But if you take God and make him what he's not, when are they going to unlearn that? When are they going to grow up and say, suddenly, I'm mature now, you can talk to me intelligently about God. No, do it now. I don't care if they're 4 years old. It's like one of our little girls here, about 3 years old or 4 years old, came down one day and told her parents she saw Henry on TV. And Henry was preaching the sovereignty of God. That's the 4 years old. You say, what does she know about the sovereignty of God? Well, she's got the word. And someday she'll know the meaning. But give her the word. Isn't that right, John? Give her the word. And remember that, young people. Remember, when you grow up, while you endeavor to find your work, while you're growing up, while you endeavor to find your life's work and to find your profession and find your mate and find your place, while you're doing this, remember the Creator. Remember thy Creator. And when is this to be done? Well, it's to be done in the days of our youth. Right now. Right now, while you're young. And this is what he's saying. Look at the verse 1. Remember now thy Creator. Think upon God in the days of your youth while the evil days come not. Now, I know this is going to be hard for you to understand, but you are going to get old. When I was in my teens, I thought I'd never be 21. When I got 21, I thought I'd never be 40. I always wanted to be 40. I felt like that a preacher ought at least be 40 so people pay attention to it. It came sooner than I expected. And I'll tell you, 65 was remote. My dad was 65, but not me. But honestly, it's here. And he says these days are coming. He calls them evil days. They're days of old age. That's right now. Listen to me. I'm not making fun of old age because I'm there. And I can make these statements and folks understand that it's coming from first hand. But these days, the old age and infirmities creep up on you. And you'll find it. Here's the thing. If you're going to wait till then to start thinking about God and the mysteries of this word, you're waiting too late. You're waiting too late. I promise you. I promise you're waiting too late. You see, these days come more quickly than you think. And this is what happens when a person gets old without God. And the years draw nigh when you say, I don't have any pleasure in them. In what? In mysteries. In the things of God. Now, I know there are a lot of young people who have no interest in the things of God because they're just not interested. But there are a lot of older people who have had no interest in the things of God all their lives, and now they're way up in years, and they're not able to lay hold even when these things are preached. Now, I know that from experience. By people I preach to on television. A dear man wrote me a few days ago. He talked about being way up in years, in his 80s, and he's just beginning to listen to some of the things I'm saying. I'm not saying it's impossible. Now, don't misunderstand me. God's able to save older people. But this man's been listening to me some time now. But he's not hearing me. I can tell by his letters. He's not hearing. Because he wrote the other day, and this is what he said. He belongs to a certain denomination, certain group of people, religious group. And he says, I'm old, and I don't have much longer, and for long I'll be going home. And he said, my hope is in my church. He said, if they'll do my part, and I do my part, if they do their part, and I do my part, I'm going to be all right. Now, he hadn't heard me. And he hadn't heard God. He hadn't heard anybody. But he's waited so long. Now, this is what happens. If you don't think on the Lord now and the gospel now, and these seeds are not planted now, there's a day God said in Proverbs, when you call on me and I'm not going to hear you. You'll seek me, but you're not going to find me. Because here's what's happening, verse 2. The sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. They're not darkened yet, but they're going to be, and the clouds nor the clouds return after the rain. You know what this verse here, verse 2, the sun, the light, the moon, the stars, that's the faculties of the soul and the mind. What happens? They get darkened as you get older. And you know this is so. Our understanding, our judgment, our memory, our alertness. Back when I was younger, driving. I do a lot of driving. I travel a lot of miles, 30, 35, 40,000 miles a year driving. And my driving used to be almost automatic. I could alert and quick and movements and decision. Not anymore. I have to be very careful driving now. Do you know that? I have to look twice instead of once, sometimes four times. I'm telling you. And this is what's happening. Ideas and understanding and judgment and alertness and memory begins to darken. And you sure don't want to wait till then to care for that which is most important. And that which is mysterious and that which is secret and that which is great and that which is of God. You want to do it when you're at your best. You want to remember your Creator. That's right. Verse 3 says, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. That's the arms. They keep the house. They defend the house. They feed the house. They work for the house. This old house. Strong men shall bow themselves. That's the right word you use there, Ronnie. We a lot of times bow themselves. Bow. That's the legs. They become weak. They hold up the spot. The grinders cease. That's the teeth because they're few. Those that look out of the windows be dim. That's the eyes. You don't see it. What's happening? And the doors be shut in the street. That's the lips. The end line. Sound of the grinding is low. We don't, appetite's not as good. Rise up at the voice of a bird. Can't sleep at night. All the daughters of music be brought low. Can't sing anymore. Also they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. Don't like high mountains. Fear of flying. All these things. The almond tree shall flourish. The almond tree in full bloom is white as snow. That's the hair. The grasshopper will be a burden, let alone carrying a 100-pound sack of concrete or a 75-pound bunch of shingles up on a roof. Not anymore. Not anymore. Desire shall fail. What's happening? Man's going to his long home. And the mourners go about the streets. And the silver cord is loose. What's that? That's that cord between the soul and the body. And it snaps. Soul goes to God. Body to the dust. The golden bowl be broken. Yield says that's the brain. The pitcher be broken at the fountain. That's the heart. The wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Now, when that takes place, taking place, it's going to. So remember now, right now, it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or if you're 40, 50, 60, remember now, this is the time to set your affection on things above. And like I said at the beginning of this message, you've got to trail to walk. I know that. You've got to give it your best. You've got to give it. And I wouldn't have you do otherwise. I wouldn't have you sitting in school reading the Bible. I want you to read your math book, your history book. I wouldn't have you stop your playing to go in and listen to some kind of theological exposition because I know your heart wouldn't be in it. Get out there and play and give it your best shot. Be the best you can at what you do. give it your utmost concentration, but also remember him. Think on him. Love him. Listen to your parents. Offer thanks to God. Come here on Sunday. Let me preach the gospel to you. Sit in your classes and listen to your teachers. While you're getting your education, get an education in that which you'll live forever. The things of God. That's right. And God will bless you. And when you get older, when you get as old as I am, and some of these other people here, I'm thankful that I have a foundation in the gospel. I'm so glad God didn't pass me by. I'm so thankful. Because this day's coming. We're going to our long home. Because he says in verse 8, listen, vanity of vanity, say the preacher, all is vanity. Solomon said he tried it all. He tried it all. He gave himself to education and study and all these things and learned, and he was a wise man. But he found out all of his vanity. It's only temporary. It's useful now, but not there. He gave himself to mirth. He gave himself to building big houses and great buildings, and he got a name for himself. He said it's all vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's not going to live. It's not going to last. But you are. Your soul is. You're going to meet God. Meet God. And listen to verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise. And that's why I want to be a wise preacher. I want to help you, instruct you, teach you. I want to be wise. Because he was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Where is the knowledge? That eternal knowledge, that valuable knowledge, that worthwhile knowledge. It's in knowing Christ. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want you to know other things. I'm proud of the young people of this church. They excel. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of every accomplishment. I'm proud of your teachers and all your accomplishments. I tell you, I think one of the greatest vocations on this earth is to teach young people. I really do. School teacher. I think my hat's off to you. My hand goes out to you. My heart. I appreciate you. I wish we'd have Teacher Appreciation Day every day. I'm thankful for you. And our young people are excelling. They're giving themselves and they're doing a good job. We're proud of them. But listen, I want you to listen to me too. I want to teach you some more knowledge. Knowledge of yourself and sin and knowledge of God and knowledge of His grace and knowledge of His gospel and knowledge of His Son. And we'll do that every Sunday. And Wednesday. Now listen, read on. Yea, he gave good heed, and he sought out and set in order many proverbs. Good teachings. Look at verse 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, words of delight, plain words. That Ronnie prayed that a while ago. Let the preacher speak plainly, simply, truthfully. Acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Words of truth. What are the truth? I'm the truth, Christ said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, there's a lot of truths in this world. But he's the truth. All wisdom's in him. And anything, now listen to me, anything that is not glorifying to Christ is not the truth. Now, if it doesn't fit in with him and his glory and his wisdom and his grace and his kingship and lordship, reject it. If it takes away from Christ and from his glory, that's the reason evolution is not truth. All the theories, it's not truth, it's theory. But that which brings glory to Christ is truth. And I accept it. And I reject anything that doesn't fit in to his glory. He's the word of truth. All right, verse 11. And the words of the wise are as goads. You know what a goad is? The words of the preacher, the words of your parents, the words of your teachers, the words of your Sunday school teachers are as goads. Now, the reason we don't know what goads are is because we don't use oxen anymore and don't have cattle. But in Mexico, they still have them. I couldn't tell you how many pairs of oxen I saw plowing while I was in Mexico, especially that run through the whole country. Oxen on the highway. Goads are prickly, sharp instruments that the owner has to reach out and get the oxen along the legs or the thighs, keep him on the right way. That's what goads are. And these words that I'm trying to give you tonight, wise words, are goads. Because I don't care whether we're children or young people or old people, we have a tendency to drift, you know. Especially when the line of least resistance, and we need those sharp, get back in line here. And Dad and Mom and teachers and all are not mad at you. They love you. And that pricking, that little sharp instrument, is to keep you back in line, going the right direction. That's what he says. That's these wise words are his goads. And listen, and his nails, fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd, our one shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Well, these nails, the carpenter, the builder, puts these pieces of lumber here where they belong, according to the blueprint, according to where they belong, according to, and he takes nails and drives them in, and they stay there. And that's what I'm doing here with these words of Christ. God is on the throne, sovereign. Drive it home. Nail it down. Man is a sinner, lost and undone. Nail it down. That ain't going to change. Going to stay right there. Jesus Christ is the one Redeemer, substitute, high priest, mediator, Lord and Savior. By his blood he redeemed us. Drive a nail there. Don't leave these old landmarks. Drive a nail. He was buried and rose again. He ascended to heaven. There you intercede. Drive a nail. There are nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, putting things together. Verse 12, and further, by these my son be admonished, these words of wisdom from God's word. Now, of making many books, there is no end. I want you to listen to me just a moment. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the preacher. In your generation, in your day, God sends your way. The world's full of books by men. Ideas, thoughts, systems of theology. You know, when I was entered the ministry, when I came to Ashland to be a preacher, when I learned the gospel of grace, it was popular, one of the popular things among the men of grace and the preachers of grace in those days would have these huge libraries. Get all these books, 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 books. I had one friend that had, he sent me 16 boxes of books and it didn't make a dent in his library. He had every old writer, Sibbs and Clarkson and Charnock and Calvin and Toplady and all, just keep naming all these books, 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 books. And that became popular. They emptied all those old bookseller shops in England, and then books began to be sold, and all these fellas just had books all, they never read all of them, you know, but you'd go in, you'll see my library. That's the first thing fellas said. Well, if you've seen one, you've seen them all, you know. It's just books. That's all. And that's what he's saying of the making of books. There is no end. And I found this out. A lot of my friends that had the biggest libraries and the biggest collection of all these old writers of thousands and thousands and thousands of pages and claimed to have read a lot of them, it didn't seem to help them a great deal spiritually. I really didn't. It didn't seem to give me any more grace or love or faith or compassion. You know what I'm talking about, John. They got big heads, but they didn't grow much here. And when they got together, they wanted to talk about who wrote this and who wrote that, who said this and who said that. They didn't talk about Christ. Now, you know what I'm saying? And you can soak your brain in theology, and you can do it like making these potato vines grow, but there won't be any substance to it. So it says here, listen, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. That really is. You can overstudy. That's right. You study the heart out of a thing. You study the joy out of it. You study the preciousness out of it. You study the Christ out of it. And first thing you know, you're beginning to pick at all these insignificant things that don't have any bearing on His glory. You understand what I'm saying? I understand what I'm saying? Think on Christ. And because you hadn't read Top Lady's entire works, don't feel like you're missing anything. Honestly, now. And because you don't have a library full of books, if you got this book, you got the book. You got the library. Now get your good concordance. Get your good commentary like Dr. Gill or William or Poole or Matthew Henry. But please, soak yourself in this. I'm giving you good advice. That's what he says here. My son, be admonished. They're going to keep, evidently they did it when Solomon's day. The making of many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. If you can learn one good truth from God's word a day, God bless you. Isn't that right, Jim? God bless you. If you can read one scripture and love it, and God's grace will apply it, His Holy Spirit, and come to appreciate and love and rejoice in Christ in that one scripture, you've taken a big step. A big step. But if you keep soaking in all these writings of men, it muddies the water. It just surely does, honestly. All right, verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Two things. Fear God. Fear God. Remember thy Creator. Walk before God in awe and reverence and fear. Don't be misled by this buddy stuff. Buddy stuff, you know. Don't be misled by that. God is great and worthy to be praised and worshipped. Stand before Him in awe and fear. He's the God of gods and Lord of lords. And keep His commandments. And I know I'm talking about His commandments. I'm talking about His statutes. I'm talking about His laws. You can't violate the laws of nature and get by. What do you mean, laws of nature? Well, you're up on that top of that tree and decide to walk out. Remember one thing, there's a law of gravity. You can't violate it. You can't do it. You pay for it. And I'm telling you, God's got some laws. And you violate them, you pay for it. I'm not saying you won't be saved. I'm saying you're going to hell. But you pay for it. You can't violate God's laws. But here's the main thing he's talking about. Keep His commandments. And His commandments are this. Believe the gospel. Believe His word. Love one another. Walk in truth. Fear God, keep His commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It's appointed unto me and wants to die. After that, the judgment. But you have no fear of judgment if you're in Christ. There's therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ. Okay, young people. Remember your Creator now, while the evil days come not, and while judgment is not next week or tomorrow, but in Christ, when God brings you to this place where you say, well, my faith's in Him, I want to confess Him, follow Him in baptism, unite with God's church, you let me know, and I'll baptize you. But you don't have to know all the theology in the Bible to believe on Christ, do you? I don't know it all. I do know He died for sinners. I believe Him. All right, I hope that was a blessing. So, Mike, you come lead us in a hymn.